بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون وقال تعالى وإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراؤون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا وقال تعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. This is a slot where we primarily discuss how to gain concentration and devotion in salah. The talks are taken from the kitab Anwar al-Salah, which is a lecture of Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayh. And Sufi Iqbal has written an introduction to the kitab, and this inshallah helps a person tremendously in gaining concentration and devotion in salah. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that indeed those believers have attained success. Here the past tense is used, aflaha, to show what total certainty, and qad also shows tahqiq, most definitely the believers have attained success. Alladheena hum fi salatihim khashi'un, who have concentration and devotion in salah. As far as khashi'un is concerned, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains khashi'un. What is this concentration and devotion? خائفون قلبا, that a person has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. So one is in the heart, within, there is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ساكنون قالبا, and outwardly motion, a motionless outwardly. So two things, one is the inside as well as the outside both, that means the zahir and the batin collectively will be equivalent to concentration in salah. Allama Arusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh explaining Khashi'un says, At-tadallul ma'khawf wa sukoon lil jawari, that a person be with humility and fear, at the same time they be in his body motionless. That means when you say motionless, not engaging in activities outside that of salah. Hazrat Mujahid rahmatullah alayh explaining Khashi'un, he says, Ghaddul basar, that a person lowers his gaze, وَخَفْتُ janah, he keeps his sides soft, meaning he gives place to people, etc. So ulama have given different explanations as to khashi'un, as to what khashi'un is. And before we continue with that, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, indeed the believers have attained success. Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, Muhyiddin, this is Allama Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions that laysa fil kalam al-arab كلمة مفردة كالنصيحة والفلاح, that in the Arabic language there is no such word, that another word that will be able to replace or will be a synonym for the word falah. Because falah includes and incorporates everything that we perceive to be good. That means the believers have attained ultimate success. And then he says, Al-Murad bin falah, what is meant by falah? جميع خير الدنيا والآخرة, all that which is good in dunya and akhirah. So indeed those believers will attain success, and the ultimate success, salvation, whatever a person perceives to be good, who concentrates and performs salah with total devotion. So one is that we have to inculcate a salat of concentration. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, the destruction be for those people performing salah, not those that are not performing salah. الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, who are negligent in their salah. As far as sahun is concerned, ulama have, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi in Fazail Aman has written, sahun are those that must first and foremost the correct time of salah. They do perform salah, but kada. Many times you ask a person, are you punctual in your salah? He says, yes, I read my five times salah. When do you read Fajr? After sunrise. That means every day is a is qada. So this is part of sahur, the destruction for those people that even perceive themselves to be people performing salah. The second is that the tafsir of sahun, those that are inattentive in salah. Despite performing salah, their mind is wandering all over the place. And the third tafsir given by the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, a person that forgets the number of rakats. So think about us, what is our condition? Do we fit in this definition of sahun? That we are inattentive in our salah, that we forget the number of rakats of salah, or unfortunately, we do not perform salat on its true time. As far as the munafiqeen are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the munafiqeen. Munafiqeen were not such that they didn't perform salah. وَإِذَا قَوْمُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَوْمُوا كُسَالَى. When they stood up towards salat, they stood up in a lazy manner. Like we have to get this burden off our head. So, and people must just see us in order that we be part of them. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ. The salat is to show people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They make very little dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, from this we understand it is imperative that we get a salat of concentration. And mashayikh in the previous generation would utilize one of few means of getting the murideen and the disciples and those people treading the path to find Allah, to get Allah through a few means. One is that some mashayikh in the past, especially for the those that had murideen that were primarily Arabs, they would use the Quran Kareem as a tool to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One other way of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they used to use was perfection of salah and being punctual on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one is attaching ourselves to the Quran Kareem, read it as a book of hidayat, hudallil, that dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fih, hudallil muttaqeen. It is a hidayat for those people that are searching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that want a deep relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perfection of salah. This is highly effective in reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because salat has got it. The Quran Kareem itself says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That salat prevents a person from evil actions and lewdity and things that are vile and that creates passion in a person. Salat prevents a person from this. And ittiba'i sunnat and the following of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because sunnat is a sign that a person has got hudur e qalb, presence of heart, and at the same time, he is present, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence is in his mind, that governs him. This is tasawuf, this is tariqah. That means to engage in such activities, that the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into a person. That he's governed 24 hours with the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the tariqah of tasawuf. So we can utilize all these ways of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is making Quran Kareem tilawat every day without fail. Inshallah we should make niyat that not only in the month of Ramadan, at least like as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, the Quran Kareem has got right over every, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali has written, that the minimum right the Quran has got over every individual is at least two khatams. Outwardly it seems one completion in the month of Ramadan, one completion out of Ramadan. So we should endeavor while we are here, at least if we haven't done much tilawat while we are at home, that in the last 10 days, if we read 3 paras a day, inshallah, we will make one khatam easily. And we have so much time available, so we should utilize this. The other is that in the remaining 11 months, to make one khatam. And that if a person calculates approximately 3 pages and 6 lines to 8 lines a day if he reads, inshallah, he will complete a khatam. Ideal would be that we get to the situation that we make a khatam every month. And make the khatam according to the lunar months. And read with what niyat? With the niyat of hidayat. One is we are just completing the Quran Kareem. Read with the niyat of hidayat. Read with the niyat of najat in the nar. That Allah saves you through the barakat of the Quran. Everyone has got proof. Time does not allow to go into every detail of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So basically what we are saying is all derived from ahadith and mubarakah. That to read with the niyat of salvation from the fire of Jahannam. To read with the niyat of the highest stages in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala will tell a person on the day of Qiyamah that read like how you used to recite. And that will be your last, till where you complete will be your stage in Jannah. Read with the niyat of imarat al-qulub, that it be preoccupies your heart. You are obsessed the entire day. I haven't completed my daily recital. I have to complete it. I don't feel at ease with doing any activity
of dunya till I do not make my recitation. I don't feel like speaking to people. It must be an obsession of the heart. Imarati qulub. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that that house in which there is no recitation of the Quran is like a dilapidated house, a ruined house. Nobody lives in that house. In the same way, it should be an obsession on a daily basis. And there are many other niyats a person can make. One is that Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. The most supreme dhikr of Allah is the tilawat of Quran al-Karim. To get itminan al-qalb, to remove your worries. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Allahumma jalil Quran al-Karim, rabiya qulubina, wa jila ahzanina, wa dhihaba humumina, wa qa'idana, wa sa'iqana, ila jannatil na'im. That it removes all your worries, your concerns, and those things that are making you feel depressed. Quran is highly effective in leading depression. Person is suffering from depression, then take up time every day, close the room in the most beautiful manner. Read a ruku or two rukus, as you can read, the best in your voice, and see inshallah how effective it is in removing depression, the noor of the heart. There are so many niyats a person can make, so utilizing Quran and Kareem as a means of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perfection of salat. And to be obsessed with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I woke up this morning. Did I read my du'as? I came to the khanqah for my islam. I wore my clothes. Did I consciously remove my left clothing and then put on my right? Did I consciously put on my right when wearing clothing? Did I read my du'as this morning? All the relevant du'as. And many times we take it for granted. For example, we are eating. As it says, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahman Sahab, from time to time, we take it for granted that we read the du'as for eating food, etc. But if you really take this morning, I kept roza. Did I even read the relevant du'as for keeping roza? Did I read the relevant du'as while having sehri this morning? When wearing my clothing, did I read the relevant du'as? All these things, the obsession was sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Hazrat mentioned that these are not the only ways to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama have written, the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reaching Allah, is like the breath taken by the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the amount of ways. That means there are so much opportunity that no person can have an argument on the day of Qiyamah that I was not afforded the opportunity of reaching you, that getting wusul in Allah. Because every second Allah has given us an opportunity of pondering to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salat is one very, very effective way. Then we mentioned that before the bayan itself, there were 5 points that Sufi Iqbal has mentioned that a person has to engage in order to get concentration in salat. One is mentioned, the first and foremost, that a person makes dhikr for a protracted period of time. So with the dhikr, to a great extent, he gets hudur e qalb, presence of heart. And to a great extent, he gets itminan within himself. Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Once he reaches this position, then inshallah to concentration in salat is very, very easy after that. And the Quran al-Karim also mentions this tartib. Qad aflaha man tazakka. Indeed, that person has attained high levels of purity and self-reformation. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Who makes the dhikr of the name of Allah and then he performs salah. So the tartib has also been mentioned of how to get salat of concentration and how a person can attain purification. One is by making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then performing salah. And and when we're talking of dhikr, that makes dhikr with muhabbat, with ishq, walihana dhikr, with love. You'll see that dhikr that a person does in this manner. Soon will get concentration, devotion, hudur e qalb will be there. In the hadith, sabak al mufarridun, that those that make dhikr with muhabbat and ishq, they will surpass the people. In fact, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he says, when I read Fazail-e Amal, it intrigued me that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali had made the tarjuma of Mufarridun, those that make dhikr with great ishq and walihana with love. So when I checked that where did Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali get this tarjuma, then eventually I opened the original source, Muslim Sharif, and I checked the explanation given by Allama Nawawi Rahmatullah Ali, and I seen that he has made the same tarjuma that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali had made. That those that make dhikr with passion, with love, in a romantic manner. Oh Allah, I love you. Oh Allah, I need you. Oh Allah, I require you. Oh Allah, I cannot do without you. Like how I want you, Allah, you want me in return. If a person makes dhikr every day like this, with this obsession of finding Allah, he will soon find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be a total reformation and transformation within him. He's showing his need. He's showing his want. He requires Allah. Now if a person makes every day like as it says, that in the sleeping manner, when he says la ilaha, he forgets even to say illallah, because he is in the drowsy mood. How is Narish Allah through the dhikr? Because he doesn't even know what he's uttering. But when this person, he sits there, with this obsession that I need to find Allah. How long I'm going to live this life of negligence? And Allah has promised, it is dalil qati like Mawlana Shaitani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, is irrefutable proof that nobody can question. So the dhikr of Allah wal itminani kalb comes. Will be contentment of heart, satisfaction within, ease in thought, in ease of ideas that comes to a person through the barakah of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the intellectuals, what is the definition Allah has given of intellectuals? إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of intelligence, those verily in the creation of the skies and the earth, the transformation of the day into night and the night into day, are signs for the people of intelligence. Then Allah says, who are the people of intelligence? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ. Those are the ones that make the dhikr of Allah. So it's not, the intellectuals are not those that have PhD degrees. Hazrat mentioned PhD, para huwa dimag. That is what a PhD is. A person whose mind is turned. He was studying for years and get his PhD in Darwin's theory of evolution, trying to prove that his forefathers was an ape. And mashallah, we honor him that he's trying to prove that he's from the ape progeny. Regarding that, just to digress slightly, on one occasion, when the British were ruling India, and their education had come into the varsities, etc., and they were pushing this concept of evolution. So people out of concern came to Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh and said, Hazrat, that these people, unfortunately Muslims, are also affected by this preaching of theirs, of this Darwin's theory of evolution. You should write a book to refute this. So they say, why should I? When they are obsessed in trying to say that their forefathers are apes, and every person has a right to claim regarding who he wants as his forefathers. If they want to do so, why should I get in between and say they are not apes? They are free to do so. So this kadaf alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, and they ponder. Therefore Allah and Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddid Dehlvi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, and the same point is mentioned, that the sifat ihsan, this is what we are trying to inculcate. Tasawwuf, the start is ikhlas, the end point is sifat ihsan, to reach such a level, an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara, as if you can see Allah, fa in lam takun tara fa innahu yarak, that at least if you cannot see Allah, then have this minimum thought within you that Allah is watching you, that Allah is watching you. Thus Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddid Dehlvi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, in order to get sifat ihsan, and this ties up perfectly with our subject matter, there are three things that a person should do. One is make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second is make tafakkur. And third is tilawat of Quran al-Karim. He mentioned three things for sifat ihsan that will help concentration in your salah. One is tilawat of Quran al-Karim, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tafakkur. And even in this ayat al-Karim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions dhikr first, and then Allah mentions tafakkur. From that, Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned a beautiful point. He says, don't even rely and trust on any person's view and his thinking if he does not make regularly the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr is the thing that would control the thought of a person. And even if, and then he mentions another salient point. So one is, he says that don't even trust a person's opinion who is not regular with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned dhikr first, and then tafakkur, the sihat of tafakkur, of pondering, is totally dependent on the nur and the heat of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore today you'll find so many people with different ideologies, and you'll find the one thing that regarding Islam, and they will call themselves and given titles of Mufakkirin of Islam, the ponderers and of Islam. But you will find that the ideas are away from the mainstream of thought simply because they are not making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allama Arusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions another point. He says that, for example, if a person for some reason is finding a, like how you get a writer's block, and no matter how hard the person tries and ideas are not coming, then so now he is totally blocked with ideas. In the same way, if a person does not find solution to problems and certain things are nagging onto his mind and he cannot find solution, he says, make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah's, the tartib in the Quran al-Karim is mentioned that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tafakkur, inshallah, with the heat of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, the block of thought will be removed. And Mujaddin Millat Marashim al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned regarding dhikr, he says, That one is dalil qat'i that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that with the dhikr of Allah will a person get itminan al-qalb, he will get satisfaction of heart. This will help greatly. So he says it is irrefutable proof. The other Hazrat mentions, the Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Marashim al-Thani rahmatullah alayh, that if there was only one proof of the virtue of dhikr and no other virtue mentioned in the Quran or Hadith, this would be sufficient to make a person a diehard of the dhikr of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, that make my dhikr and I will think about you, I will remember you. So just to mention that, and Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked me to recite Quran Kareem to you. Ubay bin Ka'b was in a state of ecstasy. Sammani, did Allah take my name? And Dharifat min al uyun, he started weeping. That Allah has taken my name to make that. So then he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulama have written that why he asked a second time to get enjoyment that my Allah is thinking about me. Then ulama have written in the explanation of this hadith that Ubay bin Ka'b was in a state of ecstasy because Allah is thinking about him and Allah had taken his name and sent Jibreel to inform Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read Quran to Ubay bin Ka'b. But we all have that opportunity. Every time we make the dhikr of Allah, Allah makes mention of us also. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that a person, individuals that, or people that make dhikr in a group, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summons the malaika mukarrabin, the close malaika only, wa arwahu mursaleen, and the souls of the anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, and mubahatan wa iftikharan, boasting to them, and proud of these people's achievement. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, biwadil jazeel, and superior promises. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, at the same time, one is with beautiful praises regarding these people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises great bounties on such people. That makes dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a group. So to make the dhikr of Allah, this is one thing that we are lazy regarding. And we are wondering that we are not progressing in the tariq of tasawwuf. It is highly effective in getting Allah Ta'ala's presence in a person. This will govern a person to stay away from sin. It will prompt a person to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, the minimum at least to make niyat now, that from now inshallah, not a day will pass without making my dhikr. And I will not engage in any activity till I haven't completed my quota of dhikr for the day. Inshallah, we all make niyat inshallah. And be punctual upon it. Allah, there is no hukam. Hazrat Shaykh Hamdullah Ali has mentioned, there is no order in the Quran al-Kareem that has come in such abundance like the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is one activity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that make it in abundance. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu uzkurullaha dhikran kathira. Make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Wadhakirina Allah kathira wadhakirat. Allah explaining the believers has mentioned, only what dhikr Allah has mentioned, those that make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first, in order to inculcate concentration, devotion, to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly. Second point is that our niyyah should be khalis, it should be totally sincere, that my endeavor is in order to attain concentration so I can be ultimately successful in dunya and akhirah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So sincerity of intention. The third point, before we come to the bayan itself, to understand the difference between concentration and absorption. Absorption, when a person is oblivious about his surroundings, he does not know what is happening, this is not matloob, is not even required. That is a special in'am, special gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to his special servants. So many times a person becomes frustrated because he is trying to improve his salat, but he is not coming to the point of absorption. But this was not required in the first place. It is not even matloob. In fact, ulama have mentioned that if a person has absorption in salah, but he is not mindful about his outward actions of salah, the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, it could be a means of sin for that person. Despite the fact that he is totally in a deep level of concentration, oblivious of his surroundings. So when we are talking of concentration, it is pertaining to the fulfillment of faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat, what the thought that Allah is watching. And to be aware of what you are uttering. Minimum level of absorption of concentration in salat, at least once in the entire salat, to think that your Allah is watching. So this we all can do, to intentionally bring the thought within ourselves that my Allah is watching. Then to improve upon that in every posture of salat, that when I'm in qiyam, I'm in a standing position, I'm standing in front of Allah. I've presented myself in front of Allah. When I'm making ruku, I'm bowing to my Allah. And when I'm making sajda, I'm making sajda in front of Allah. To be aware of the presence of Allah in every posture of salah. To be aware of Allah in every posture of salah. And then to improve upon that will that, to concentrate on the meaning. And especially those meanings that are very, very easy that we read all the time. For example, Surah Fatiha, the various tasbihat. What does Subhana Rabbi al-Azim mean? What does Subhana Rabbi al-A'la mean? What does Tashahud mean? What does Thana mean? And the Durood after Tashahud. And the Dua after Durood. All these things, it is within our capacity to learn these things. Unfortunately, negligence that we are reading Salat for 60 years, 70 years. And till now, we don't know the meaning of Surah Fatiha. We don't know the meaning of the various utterances. How we can reach proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Iqbal also mentions, Shaheer rahmatullah alayhi mentions, this is very, very difficult for a person, that without knowing the meaning, to get concentration. If you think about it in Tarawih Salat, even no matter how much we endeavor, very soon our thoughts go away, because we are not aware of what the Imam is reading. But minimum that which is within our control, the simple du'as that are in salah, and the simple recitations to make an effort to learn the meaning. For that, Hazrat recommends that Miftah al-Quran is very, very an easy kitab that is primarily based on the recitations of the Quran al-Karim and ayahs of the Quran al-Karim and recitations in salah. So few surahs, its translation is given, and we all know we have got our registered surahs. So we read our four registered surahs in our salah, at least to learn that meaning. So we understand that what we are uttering, what we are saying. And then to a higher level, that a person with the ayahs of Jannat is mentioned, then he has a deep desire for this. If there is Jahannam mentioned, then he seeks refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that. At the same time, while performing salah, he has intention that those ahkamat that are coming in recitation to fashion his life according to those ahkamat, those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited to stay away from. So obviously there are different levels in concentration, but minimum at least to start with this point, that my Allah is watching me, and then to improve upon this, that in every posture to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the third point. What is concentration? What is absorption? The difference between concentration and absorption, and try to inculcate this. And fourth, that at least for 40 days, whatever lessons are going to come in the front, to practice upon this. So this is an ideal opportunity, inshallah, every year to spend a chilla or at least one chilla, that we are in the environment of the masjid, whatever lessons have been taught, to apply it immediately. Because this is very, very important for our progress, istiqamat. To continue with a particular action. So that is that we do it for at least a 40 day period, all the lessons that I mentioned. And then the fifth point, that you have attained some form of success and you have reached your desire, is when at the end of salat, no matter what effort you make, you think your salat is incomplete. The more a person thinks that his salat is incomplete, is his salat complete. The more a person thinks his salat is complete, his salat is incomplete. Because where my salat and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? the grandeur, the might, the benevolence, the graciousness, the kindness, the passion of Allah. How can I even do an action that is befitting of the rank of Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's utterance was, ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifatik. We could not recognize you the right of recognition. Ma abadnaka haqqa ma'ibadatik. We could not make the ibadat like the right of making ibadat. Then where is my ibadat? Where is your ibadat? That we can put forward to their, any action that is befitting the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Mawlana Musa Khan Sahib rahmatullahi used to mention, the day when a person thinks he has read a salat of concentration, he has read no salat of concentration. The day when he feels he hasn't read, that is what is matloob. But Allah loves this annihilation. Allah loves this, that no matter what you do, you tell Allah, I cannot do enough. And if you think about it, every marriage also will work on that. If the husband, no matter what he gives to the wife and what he does for her, and he always thinks that I'm not doing enough, then he will improve in his ways of pleasing his wife. But the day when he thinks that he has fulfilled his rights, then he will become totally complacent. And if she thinks she has done enough for him, then she's all the time expecting that I do so much, how come he does not receive that which I'm giving and acknowledging it and react accordingly. Then this level of this frustration she is expecting from him, he is expecting from her. So when a person performs salat, understanding the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this thought comes into him that he has not performed a proper salat. Then the actual bayan of Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayhi we discuss, which basically I'll give the gist of the first sabak, that it is imperative for every person to understand his creator. And this marifat of Allah, which we use it in the in tasawwuf, etc., is not something very difficult to understand. It is a natural thing. And Hazrat gives two examples to explain this point. Hazrat says that if on a weekly basis somebody puts a basket of fruit on a Friday morning, for example, on your veranda, on your porch, and you come out every Friday for Jummah Salah or for Fajr Salah and you find this fruit, it's just human nature. Curiosity will overtake you. I need to find out who this kind, compassionate person is leaving this fruit. The other is, for example, a person banks in your deposits in your account on a monthly basis at the end of the month 3,000 rand. Just curiosity. That who is this kind person that is depositing money in my account? So this curiosity, after acknowledging the favors, is marifat. That a person, after numerous incountable amount of benevolence and compassion that Allah showers upon a person, they have to find who Allah is. This is just natural. So the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, that the highest way of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all His instructions is through salah. So salat is an ideal system that Allah ta'ala has afforded us to get the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also to understand the importance of salah. In that, Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that there is no creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is oblivious of salah. That means every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is engaged in salah. And this is from Quran Kareem, kullun kad alima salatahu wa tasbiha. Each one. Here in kullun, it includes jamadat, nabatat, whatever we perceive that has life, that has not have life, that is solid, that is liquid, that is growing, that is beneath the ground, that is above the ground. Whatever creation there is included in kullun. Then with total certainty Allah says, qad, they know, alima salatahu. Not only that the creation have been given knowledge, whether what we perceive to have life or do not have life, but not only knowledge, they have knowledge of sharia, they have knowledge of salah. Qari Tayyib Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has written that Allah hasn't given them ordinary knowledge. Allah has given them knowledge of sharia, but therefore Allah says, qad alima, they know their salat in the tasbih. So it means every creation is in salah. And everything is a Muslim in a sense. وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah says for him, as everything is submitted, in a sense being, I am Muslim in the skies and the earth. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِ There is nothing but glorifies the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ But you do not understand the tasbih. So, from this we understand that the mimbar here is making the tasbih of Allah. The wood behind is making the tasbih of Allah. The walls are making the tasbih of Allah. The lights are making the tasbih of Allah. The fans are making the tasbih of Allah. So, that, yeah, and then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each creation of his a portion of the salat. And if you look at the mountains, for instance, they are in a perpetual state of qu'ud, in sitting in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one posture of salat they have been given. If you look at the buildings and the trees, they are in a constant posture of standing, of qiyam. If you look at the four-legged animals, they are in a constant position of ruku. If you look at the reptiles, etc., they are closer to the ground, they are in a constant position of sajda. If you look at the malaika, etc., they are making tasbih. There is also one aspect of salah. If you look at the celestial bodies that are rotating and moving in their own orbit or rotating around other planets, they are in a constant movement which is found in salah. So there is no creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is oblivious of salah. So, and on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this in two rakats, the salat of all the remaining creations. Being ashraf al-makhlukat, the best of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, not that we are deserving, bila istihqaq, without deserving, Allah ta'ala has combined the ibadat of the remaining creation for us into rakat salah. So to understand the salah, that the salah is the conglomeration, the combination of all the different ibadat of the different creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, by performing salah, we get the reward of all the remaining ibadat also. Because every other ibadat is found in salah to an extent. For example, in Sawm, we have to stay away from eating, drinking, our sexual inclinations, etc. In salah that is found, we cannot eat, we cannot drink. And what does Sawm mean? Ban karna, to control, to basic. So in salah, there is a greater level of control that not only once we stop eating, drinking, and our sexual desires, but at the same time, to a great extent, to control our mind, which is not required in soul. If a person thinks in past other things of dunya that is jais, there is no harm to his salah. But on the other hand, in salah, if you have to think about your shop, etc., which is normally permissible to think outside salah, will have an effect on your salah. So to a certain extent, there is more soul in salah than soul itself. There is more level of control. Then if you find there is zakat in salah, for instance, there are certain definite requirements that the sitr has to be covered and you have to basically make wudu, etc. So there is some amount of spending. Allah Ta'ala gives you the reward of zakat. There is hajj. Hajj is wukuf of Arafat and circumambulation of the Kaaba that is also found in, there is movement in salat, etc. There is movement. There is the reward of jihad, because in jihad also you have to be on guard all the time. You have to sacrifice the ultimate. Salat also you have to be conscious of its time. It controls your life. You can't just sleep at any given time, wake up at any given time. You are controlled all the time. There is mujahada, there is sacrifice required. So and the person should understand that salat is such an ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost has given me the ibadat to the remaining creation. What a kind and compassionate Allah. The other is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me in salat the reward of the remaining ibadat also. So that was the second lesson that we discussed. Then we came to the third lesson that primarily had to do with niyat, takbir, tahreema and qiyam. And niyat, that we perform salah only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And really niyat is fi'li qalb, the action of the heart. That a person in his heart has this obsession of, Hazrat says, that even when making niyat, understand and just bring this thought in your mind, that is the hukum of Allah. I am coming to fulfill the hukum of Allah. If a person understands the seriousness and the might of the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his salat, he will enjoy it even further. Because his acknowledgement, this is my Allah's hukum to me. It is a direct regulation and a to me. And I am fulfilling this direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in salah, we should understand that the outward would face the Kaaba. In the same way, the inside, that is the soul, that is the heart, should face its Kaaba. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means this acknowledgement that Allah is watching me, that I am standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we discussed the niyat, takbir, and understand when once a person makes Allahu Akbar, he makes takbir, tahreema, he should have this thought that he is basically leaving dunya and akhirat, and he's turning his total attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a sense, by lifting his hands, he's saying, Allah, I have surrendered. Now it is you. Whatever you require of me, I'm standing in total obedience, waiting for your commands to do as you want. My life, what is my perception? What is my jazbat? I have thrown all of that. The only desire that they have within me is to fulfill your commands. So to say, you surrender in front of Allah and have the thought, and then you'll see the enjoyment of salah. Because in surrendering to Allah is a person's izzat. In surrendering to Allah is a person's izzat. Surrendering to Allah is a person's izzat. If a person can understand this and then he starts salah, oh Allah, through the salah I want to get izzat in your sight. And the only way you can get izzat in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to become oblivious of yourself, your requirements, your needs, your jazbat, surrendering totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the only place where your outward tadallul and dillat is izzat. Otherwise, in front of insan, it is zillat and zillat that you basically lower yourself in front of insan. In front of Allah, when you lower yourself, actually you are raising yourself. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفْعَهُ اللَّهِ. So a person with this sentiment make takbir, and that I have left dunya and akhirat, my jazbat, my desires, my thoughts, what I perceive to be success, oh Allah, I'm surrendering you to you totally. Inshallah, at least let's bring this, that understand what is concentration, try the next salah that we are performing, that at least once in salah to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at least in every posture of salah. We can start with that inshallah, and then we'll try to improve in the last 10 days. Allah give us our tawfiq. Subhanallah.